Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome to a new edition of Sports on the Line. We are here at 9 a.m. How about that? Getting you ready for your day. I think I want to start doing this. I know I said 7 o'clock last night. 9 o'clock might be a little simple for me to do. Now you know I'm going to be on every morning for the meantime, really. It's the first day of August, and tomorrow will be the first NFL game, and that will be, it's gonna be great. I'll hype it up tomorrow, but today's show, I'm going to go through this trade deadline, going to talk football a little bit. WNBA, I got to get to college basketball finally. But I will start with the winners and losers of the trade deadline. A lot has happened. Remember, we were on yesterday at 12 o'clock, and I was talking trade deadline. And I was trying to see, okay, where's this person going to go? Is this person going to be gone? Da, 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 da. A lot of things have happened. I want to start with winners and losers. The Nationals did a great job in not trading Bryce Harper. I'm going to be honest with you. I know the rumor mill was out there. And it's Bryce Harper. I mean, I know he's not hitting well outside of yesterday. I mean, I don't know what happened with the Nationals yesterday. But I know he was available. And they're probably going to just look for crazy offer. Like, it has to be. Like three All-Stars. I don't know. Two first-time All-Stars. Who knows? But, you know, they're only 5.5 games out of first place. I believe they still can get her done. They still can. It will be hard because the Braves are the Braves. I think the Braves have every shot. I'm going to switch up on this NL East every day probably. Right now, the Braves, I think, is your favorites. Nats will come close. Phillies, as great as they look, this is a surprise. Their future is bright. They're a young team. They're the youngest team in baseball. They came into the season being the youngest team in baseball. I do appreciate young and youth and all this. The 76ers was one of the youngest teams in basketball. You know, Eagles had a lot of young guys on their team. I mean, they put some veterans on there. You know, for the Super Bowl. Well, I was just hungry. And the Flyers, hey, at least they made it to the playoffs. At least they made it. But they are 5.5 games out. They believe they can get it done. They're one game under 500. The starting lineup. Well, they're 500 now. They won yesterday. But Max Scherzer is the only thing they got. They have 16 games remaining against the Phillies and the Braves, I mentioned yesterday. Bryce Harper hasn't played like anything since the first 2 weeks, which is why he could be back up second half, you know, the last 2 months of the year. I mean, that's good stuff. You know, when you look at the Nationals yesterday, they put up 25 runs. I don't know if it's because, okay, they got very emotional. They got Steven Matz. So they were feeling some type of way. Because I'm telling you, I didn't think they'd take Steven Matz. I didn't think that would happen. Now they have a game at 12:05. I'll get to that later. But Steven Matz gave up 7 earned. He didn't even finish the inning. Terrible season. They have. They're 44-60. We always say every year if they stay healthy, they're going to win it. They're going to compete in the division, at least. Daniel Murphy had 2 early home runs. And Jose Reyes had to go out there. Now they're just hoping that Syndergaard can go crazy. I mean, I bet you. that Mickey Callaway is telling Mr. Syndergaard, okay, I need you to go out there and give me a complete game, honestly. But if you can give me seven plus innings, I mean, I appreciate it. But Nationals just set the team scoring mark dating to their days when they were the Expos in Montreal. It was the Mets' most lopsided loss in their 57-season history, worse than that 26-7 pounding by the Phillies in 85. The TV announcers, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, Gary Cohen, I love Gary Cohen, took turns reading from the team's media guide in late innings. I mean, the SNY network played the theme for Masterpiece Theater in the background. I mean, it was just terrible. Reyes made the first pitching appearance of his career. He got hit for home runs of Matt Adams, Mark Reynolds. 6 runs he allowed. Threw a fastball in the mid-80s and a curve in the upper 40s. Reyes gave 5 hits, walked 2, threw 48 pitches. He did retire Zimmerman on a fly ball to begin the inning, and then they just went crazy. And Zimmerman came up again with 2 outs. Reyes floated in a pitch that hit Zimmerman in the leg. Zimmerman did a little shake in the batter's box, then playfully faked a charge toward the mound, drawing a laugh from Reyes. That was good for baseball at that moment because, you know, Reyes isn't a pitcher, and, you know, Reyes is just a good guy. He's a great veteran. He's, you know, he's 35, right? So, you know, and he even said he ain't ready to pitch for today's game. It was funny. It was good stuff. But I was just, you've seen it in this game. Throw the number out there, 949-270-5945. But you've seen Bryce Harper. He was 2-for-4, a couple of RBIs, and a couple of doubles, too, in the game. And he scored 3 runs. I mean, it's a good win for him. And there's another team that won the 2 out. I'm still talking trade deadline. I just got in here, threw the number out. If you want to talk the MLB trade deadline. Because Pittsburgh also did something. They got Chris Archer and Keone Keeler. They have a chance. Pittsburgh won 13 of 16 games, something like that. They're 56-52. They're 6 games out of the Central. So now they got, like I said, 2 pitchers. It's going to help them in the wild card race. And they got them until 2021. I said it looked like the Pirates were going to be the ultimate favorites when I was on yesterday to get Archer, and they got them. Remember, they traded Gerrit Cole, which he's having a tremendous year with Houston, and they replaced him with a pitcher not as good as Chris Archer, and gave up Austin Meadows and Tyler Glass now for Archer. Well, Meadows is a better prospect than anybody the Pirates acquired in a Gerrit Cole trade, which is still a little surprising. We know that Cole is better, especially what he's doing this year. I knew Cole was going to come back because I said, okay, last year was a fluke. He's usually a good pitcher. Cole would have been under control for 2018 and 2019, where you got Archer for 3-plus seasons, and Archer's going to cost you $27.7 million from next season to 2021. And I think Cole wants to be out of Pittsburgh anyway. He wasn't going anywhere. Now he's with a contending team. Meadows, he's a future star. And that was tough. You know, he was a top 10 overall prospect. So, I mean, Tampa Bay is good in that regard they have him. So, we will see. You know, this team, though, Pittsburgh, they have a chance. It's going to be tough because the Cubs are there. They did beat the Cubs last night, by the way. And, you know, I feel like that would be a close game, and it was. I said I'd take the Cubs plus 1.5, and look what they did. They did what they were supposed to do. Now, to 7 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be in. Cole Hamels makes his first start. That's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see it. A lot of baseball we'll be watching tonight on this Wednesday evening. A lot of games on today, so, you know, that covers that. But, you know, Cole Hamels and Kingham. This is an important series. And then I want to look at the rest of Pittsburgh's schedule. I don't know when they're going to start Archer. I want to see if I can see a start from Archer. So, got Nova on Friday, Trevor Williams Saturday. I got Musgrove on Sunday. So, I don't know if they're waiting until what? Next week? I don't know. I mean, they're probably add them in there because right now they don't have them in there, but they got to add them in there because, I mean, they already got their rotation going. Let's see. They have this Cubs one more game, and then they get the day off. They get St. Louis. That's going to be a tough game, too. They go to Colorado. That's tough. I mean, Chris Archer is going to be getting used to the National League teams. I think he is thrived. I think he'll do good. Get San Francisco. They got Minnesota. On their schedule on a road trip. So, I mean, we're just going to keep an eye out. And then when they go back home, they get the Cubs again. Four-game series. And then the Braves. I mean, their schedule's going to be tight. But if they're going to believe, if they're going to be winning games like they've been winning, I think they can get her done. And, yes, they have won 13 of the last 16 games. So, they should feel good about themselves, Pittsburgh. You really should. And Troy should be happy about it. You really should. The Braves also was a winner in getting Kevin Guzman. I loved it. I saw it, you know, it happened like an hour after the show yesterday, and I was like, oh, I love it. I love Kevin Guzman anyway. You got a solid starter. Under team control to 2020 without giving up any of the top 10 prospects from a deep farm system. You know, I told you the Braves are doing their thing. Because they have prospects and they can do whatever they want. And now they're like, okay, we got Guzman. They gave up 4 players international slot money as Orioles go of quantity. And they dumped Darren O'Day's contract to the Braves. Third baseman Gene Encarnacion, the number 14 prospect on MLB's mid-season update list for the Braves, is the highest rated of the 4 prospects, 20-year-old in low A. With 100 strikeouts and 13 walks. So I think what the Braves did in getting Guzman is just special because, you know, he's a guy that you would consider he's ready to play. Like, I mean, he's not a pitcher in record-wise. His ERA is usually at 4, you know, 3 or 4. He had a good year 2 years ago. I mean, his ERA is 3.61. You know, but you look at the strikeouts. He is a strikeout pitcher. He gets 100 strikeouts. Last year, 179 strikeouts. And he'll probably be up there again. He had 174 2 years ago. Doesn't walk a lot. His whip is – usually has a good whip. I'll give him that. I mean, it was up high last year, 1.49. Give a lot of hits. Okay, yeah. And he now his home runs, he's got a limit there. He throws a lot of home runs. Yeah. You guys can call me and – talk to me about that. But he had 208 hits, 139 this year. We just got to limit that. I think if he's in a new situation, not in Baltimore, he should be happy. He's with a team that's going to the playoffs, that's ready to go. He's been in the playoffs before. They beat the Tigers. Yeah, I ain't going to forget. So there you go. 949-270-5945. We'll call in on the trade deadline. LA Dodgers, they added Brian Dozier. Also, it was huge. The position player depth there is incredible. And then here you go in the regular season. They make moves. I mean, they had Manny Machado and Dozier. Dozier has not had a good season, but the past 2 seasons, he's been a monster the final 2 months of the year. And they're just hoping he catches fire. Because do y'all remember what happened at the end of the month? I mean, at the end of the season last year. I mean, I've witnessed this because of the Tigers. I watched the Tigers in Minnesota. They played about 10 times in the last 2 months, about the last 2 years. and it was amazing to see him. He was in a leadoff spot too. So now it's like, okay, Dozier's going to be in the lineup tonight. I'm going to play tonight. I have to, right? Yeah, I mean, they're the 10-10 game. The only late game that's on tonight. And it's going to be Chase Anderson against Rich Hill. I mean, I can't wait to see the lineup. I don't have any lineups right now. But I think it's going to be – it's great for the Dodgers. They definitely won getting Dozier. I feel like they're being greedy. But maybe they do something here. They're just like, okay, we haven't won a real series since 1988. Let's get these two sluggers. As Manny Machado, even though he made me mad last night by swinging at a pitch that wasn't even near the strike zone. You seen it. I don't know what he was thinking. From Jeremy Jeffers. But, you know, I like it. I like the deals of Manny Machado, Dozier, you know, because these are players I like, you know, and I'm just Team LA. I'm not the Dodgers fan, but I would hope they can get it done because they went and they should have won last year. The Astros were there too, and they had every moment to get it. I tell you, you wonder about Justin Turner's health. He's on a DL. You know, if you have an infield of Muncy, Dozier, Taylor, Machado, you got Matt Kemp, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, Yasiel Puig, the outfield, you got Enrique Hernandez, filling in all over the place. If Turner gets back and starts hitting, you got to slide Machado back to shortstop. Taylor can play all over the place. That's the good thing. You got the amazing depth. You got the roster flexibility. You're going to have the best bench in the majors, so that's why they did it. If the Dodgers do not win this year, it is an ultimate fail. And Kershaw, you better not be at fault. You better not be at fault because I will be on here in October / November ready to go off on you, Kerr. The Brewers, they have dropped Travis Shaw playing second base, maybe. They traded for Michael Stalkus. Brewers tried Shaw at second base 2 games past weekend, won both games. And then they got Jonathan Scope, which is good. Pitcher Luis Ortiz, main player, going the other way. Of course, this means that Shaw will still play second, and Scope will play shortstop. He was shortstop in the minors, so he's definitely looking to do that, but he had to switch because Machado was a shortstop. And then there's Scope playing second base, and I thought he did a good job at second base anyway. Now, I'd say it's a little scary. Is you would be downgrading defense at 3 positions, second, short, and third. But maybe the Brewers have figured that shifting in positioning will help cover the lack of range. With Shaw will move all over into the super utility role. Jesus Aguilar has suddenly stopped hitting now. Remember, we were talking about him at the All-Star break. You know, Craig Council has plenty of options to fill out that lineup card. And I even said that at the beginning of the year. When the preseason picks in baseball, I said Milwaukee has an interesting lineup. He can have fun with it. Now he just made it even more interesting. And Milwaukee, and you'll probably see Jonathan Scope tonight. I think this Milwaukee and Dodgers game is just a must-watch, and I can't wait to come here tomorrow at 9 o'clock to talk to Milwaukee in the Dodgers game because that's going to be a game to watch. That's something you look forward to at 10 o'clock. Now, here are the losers. I spent a lot of time on this. It's good. 949-270-5945. Nationals needed a starting pitcher, though. You know, I talked about them winning, not trading Bryce Harper, but they needed a starting pitcher. You know, you got Archer and Guzman getting traded. You know, they traded the reliever, Brandon Kinsler. If you're going to keep Harper because you believe in this team, you got to get a starter because your other starters now, they're not telling Rourke starting to do good now. Last 2 starts, I'm starting to trust him. You know, I didn't trust him all season, and there he goes. He may have heard me say, okay, you know what, Tanner Roark, I'm done with you. Not messing with you. It's 10-24. This rotation is 10-24, 5.4 ADRA. This is since June the 1st. This is bad stuff. The Red Sox, they needed some bullpen help because you look at the Yankees, they got themselves a bullpen. I mean, we knew coming in they had the best bullpen. I've talked about it a lot coming into the season. Thornburg is back, Joe Kelly. And this is why the Red Sox could fail. because of the bullpen. And this is the Dave Dombrowski disease here. The triple D. This is the Dave Dombrowski disease. We've had it here. The great starting pitching. But what happens with the bullpen? Because the offense was going to slow down. Our offense slowed down. Boston Red Sox offense, they can explode one night, and then the next five games, they're just low. And the Phillies, they've been shout out to them for just being so good yesterday. That just helped. I wonder, can this bullpen be enough? Red Sox, they're going to need it because the Yankees bullpen is out here. Now, the Dodgers, they didn't add a setup reliever either. You know, the bullpen has been excellent in July. But before that, it wasn't good. They have good setup guys. They did get John Axford from the Blue Jays. I don't know if you want to trust him in anything. 4.41 ERA. Lowest walk rate since 2013, though. So, you know, you look at that. But maybe, you know, he'll play better, being the fact that he's on the Dodgers, not the Blue Jays. The Rockies, they didn't do anything. They're just content. Rangers are content with their roster, which, I mean, it's not a bad roster. The arms have been decent. They could use another bullpen arm, though. I mean, anybody can. But that's just, it's weird because you got to love the Rockies roster anyway, especially offensively. I love their lineup. They're pitching. I said it. They're young guys. They got to pitch well. I said it last year, last season. If they're going to win and go far in the playoffs, that bullpen and that pitching staff just has to do good. The Astros, you know, Monday evening, they got a suspended reliever, Roberto Osuna. And they just wanted to get rid of Ken Giles, I think. So, you know, Toronto was like, okay, we got Ken Giles. Let's get his career going. You know what? Next year, let's get ready to compete in this division because this is not the year to do it. Let's get healthy Josh Donaldson. Let's get a healthy Tulo. Let's get this because their lineup is pretty good to me. So why not do that? They needed some bench depth. That's the thing I think the Astros are lacking, bench depth. I don't think, you know, the Astros have what it takes now. I mean, they should still come out the American League because it is the Astros and they believe they have the pitching staff. And they're going to just go through it against Boston, against New York. That's who they're going to play. ALCS. One of those two teams, because they're going to battle it out in the ALCS. DS, I'm sorry. I believe. And, you know, I talked about the Indians against Leones Martin yesterday. They didn't need a center fielder. And, you know, that's what Martin plays. He also had his best season at the plate. He improved his exit velocity on contact. I mean, I've seen it. You know, him being here, he's hitting some hard hit balls. I love it. The Mariners made some trades. Yeah, Adam Warren and Zach Duke on Monday. Then they added Cameron Maben on Tuesday. This happened after the show. You know, because, you know, they needed a center fielder, that D. Gordon at center field. Cano will get some time at first base. You know, so then you got Tampa Bay. You know, I don't think they list any starting pitchers on the depth chart now that they got rid of Chris Archer. I mean, they have a good lineup, though. They have a good lineup to really present themselves. I know they're now they have to use Sucre over there. They got CJ Cron. Jeff Bowers is just the future. I think catcher Faria is still good. They got Tommy Pham will be playing. They got Malik Smith. You got a good young defense. Young team who's going to play some defense. So, I mean, I'm still looking at the Rays for that. So, those are the winners and losers of the trade deadline. Dodgers, I think, should definitely be your favorites to win it all, Adam Bryant Dozier. I've mentioned it. So, you know, if you want to get in on that, 949-270-5945. Chris Sale is on the DL, and you know that sucks for the Red Sox because they were getting ready. I was getting ready for the start. against the Yankees tomorrow. It starts tomorrow, right? So now, you know, it's Johnson. They're going to have Brian Johnson out there to go against Severino, and Severino's been hittable now. His ERA is up to 2.94. Will rise up to the high threes. Because that's going to be something if Severino does that. But I get more into it tomorrow. But I will say this. I really think that they need him healthy. If the Red Sox are for real and ready to win it all, they're going to need Chris Sale healthy. Because now you're putting your faith in David Price, who I can't trust in the playoffs. Putting yourself in Ricky P, who can play well in the playoffs. I give Ricky P credit. I don't trust the other guys. You need those solid three players, and I don't trust David Price. Don't trust him. Because he starts to get hittable. He starts to... You guys know how I feel about David Price. And you know, some of you don't. So let me say this. It's time with the Tigers. Oh, it was great. We got him. Trade deadline. We get David Price. Ooh, we just win against David Price against Tampa Bay when he was over there. Did great. This was a Sunday night baseball game. I just can't trust this man. David Price really... In the playoffs, just stinks it up. And that's not bad. I mean, it's not like his ERA is at 8. But he just don't play the same that he gives you in the regular season. And that's the same with Kershaw. I'll give you that. But Kershaw's starting to live up to playing some playoff baseball. Because it's Kershaw or bust. Now, they got some good pitchers now. Where now you're like, okay, Kershaw got some help. So, I mean, if Kershaw just being Kershaw, then y'all in good shape. Dodgers. They ain't gonna win at all. They get embarrassed at home twice. Well, not really twice. They win walk-off. But still, their offense wasn't all that, even in the first game. Arrieta, that's the Arrieta we know. He's ready to take game one if they can get there. He's ready. And they would be fun to watch. They had a Drubal Cabrera. I think that's important in a cleanup spot. Perfect spot for him. I believe it. Red Sox only got one run. Now it was to a ground out by Bogarts. Where Swihart scored. Now Boston. Lead that day off today. They're getting ready for the Yankees. It's the lead home. Getting ready for them. It's the day off. On the MLB. San Francisco did win yesterday. That was where I went. I like that. They're just yet again coming through. In extra innings, Brandon Crawford got the go-ahead base hit. And that's good. You already know about the Nats. Pittsburgh won. Tampa Bay got a good win. Mike Trout has 30th home run. I mean, next year, the Angels need to be better. They really do. I don't know what they have to do. Jeff Bauer said his 8th home run, by the way. Excuse me. And the offense was stepping up. Cole Calhoun home run. That's good, too. Had a good day. Excuse me. But the rain started hitting here in Detroit. About 10. That's when it really started hitting. Started pouring down right after the game. The game was over quickly. Boy threw 8 scoreless innings. That was a surprise. I thought this was going to be... Just home run nation, especially Homer Bailey being out there, even though he did take the loss, Nico Goodrum, you know, able to hit a home run. And you saw Suarez says sack fly in the top of the ninth. It was real interesting. And I know it felt good for him to be back in Detroit. They will play today. I believe the game will be played here. I know I didn't believe it yesterday. The game should be played. I don't think it's supposed to rain during the game time, and if it does, it might be around the end of the game, kind of like it was last night. So, I mean, we'll keep eyes on that all day for the Detroit fans. Atlanta won. Allard's debut, You know, they gave 19 hits. So Allard was able to, you know, get a win, even though he had a bad game himself. But maybe he's just nervous. Needs to get better. This is where I said, okay, I'm going to take Miami because I don't know Allard. And it was just the Braves' offense was hot. Dan Straley, I mean, he just couldn't go anymore. And Acuna, just seeing the ball so well. I mean, this team is just good, too. Kansas City was able to beat the White Sox. O'Hearn got his first home run of the year. It was a 4-2 game. I love the under in this game. And the game did go under. I didn't do so good yesterday. Cleveland at the Indians and Encarnacion Ramirez. I mean, Ramirez, it was great seeing his at-bats last night. Lomo was able to hit a home run. I have not seen a Lomo home run this year. He has 14 of them. I'll be missing out on the Lomo home runs. Colorado and St. Louis. Colorado won with Blackman and Gonzalez hitting some homers. Blackman is 21st. Matt Carpenter has 26 home runs, so at least you see that Matt Carpenter's back on the home run train, but the Rockies did win this game. Arizona won 6-0. Golly struck out 10. And I was watching this game. At the over in this game, Bartolo Colon did his part, but Zach Golly was just on fire yesterday in Texas. Couldn't do anything to him. So, got that one wrong, but I know Arizona's going to win because of Bartolo Colon on the mound. And Toronto and Oakland. Oakland won. At Oakland winning, I didn't put it on a bad card. I believe Chris Davis got his 29th home run. How about that? And yet again, Chris Davis has been hot. So yet again, Oakland wins. Of course, you know, Milwaukee won 1-0. Wade Miley shut him down. I mean, he was just doing everything. And Buehler was even good. And that was another guy, you know, they were talking about yesterday. Lorenzo Cain was just a hero. He saved the game from going to extras because Cody Bellinger had a nice ball. But Cain, you already know. And that was just an exciting moment in the game. The Astros won 5-2 that ninth inning. I told you. They snapped that five-game losing streak. Now things getting real here. Mike Leake went 6 innings, gave up 3 earned. Charlie Morton gave up 2 earned. It was a good game. Then there comes the ninth inning when you see Josh Reddick hit a 2-run blast. It's 11th of the year. That's the recap of that. Now, let's have some fun here. Well, as you guys know, the NFL season is so near. Yeah, tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game of the Bears, of the Ravens, is tomorrow. It's going to be a nice day in Canton, Ohio, Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. Not too far from where I'm at. The game will be on NBC. So that's a game we all are going to be looking at. And tomorrow could be the day you hear from Troy on the show. Boo. They already have an over-under of 33. Man, that's a low under. Two teams they don't believe in to score. I can't wait to watch it. NFL season is near, guys. Are you guys excited? We still have to do a draft. I mean, what are we doing? Now, I see something interesting here. And it's just, I'm just looking here. I want to see some predictions here. I'm looking at predictions on ESPN. That's what I'm looking at. I'm going to read them all. Why not? We got time. I talked about Earl Thomas, though. Will he be a Cowboy? They feel like he would. That's a prediction. I think he will, too. They're going to need another leader on the defensive side. Sean Lee is just a great leader of defense. And then you add Earl Thomas. You have Jeff Heath, Xavier Woods. They're pairing together now. Thomas is one of the top safeties in the league. So, you know, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm like, okay, let's go out and do this. Now, me personally, I don't think the Cowboys would be anything special anyway because of the Eagles. Cowboys may be second, but you look at the Giants, their offense is going to look scary. Saquon Barkley is the real deal. And all you need is Eli to just be Eli of old, even though he's getting old. And you have Odell. You know, he's still getting Odell his stats. You're going to have Saquon Barkley. And, hey, if he does best, Saquon Barkley is so much of an athlete that he can play quarterback. He can do it all. That's what's crazy about it. Now you look at the Giants. They feel like safety Michael Thomas works himself into a starting role as the nickel corner. I think the Giants' defense is good. They have bought their defense, and I think that's good. You know, I feel like the Giants could be one of those teams that's fun to watch. Offensively, they're going to play defense. They're going to feed off that offensive energy, and it's going to be exciting. They feel like Carson Wentz would be ready to play, be ready to do what he did last year. 6 weeks worth of runway between now and the start of the regular season. He's going to make a push to be ready for the first game on that Thursday. Was that 6? On September 6th, which I can't wait for. I can't wait for September 6th. Not only because of this game, but because we're going to be less than 24 hours away from NBA 2K. And I'm even going to be on the 7th. Be on the 7th. Let's do it. Redskins receiver Robert Davis will create some buzz and push for decent playing time this year. Now, I don't think he's going to be a starter. He's a second-year receiver. He's a sixth-round pick out of Georgia State. And he has dropped his weight to 213. So he's going to have more speed. And he's good size. So that's where he could get it. But I think it's going to take some time. Maybe the end of the year. Maybe it's going to take an injury or something. You know, who knows? Maybe he makes a play. Then he makes a few plays where, okay, you're 0-9. The NFC North, my division here, were my Detroit Lions. The Bears will show they have at least 3 reliable pass catchers, which is true. I think so because you added Allen Robinson. You're giving Mitch Trubisky a true number one target in Allen Robinson. You know, Matt Nagy's offense is all about spreading it out. Taylor Gabriel, you got rookie Anthony Miller. You got Tariq Cohen, who is going to be a pass catcher. And if you have Kevin White to stay healthy, this is going to be great. Very great. That's the team I'm looking out for, and people are starting to respect them now. I remember I hyped them up last year. I got people calling me, texting me, you know, just Facebooking me about this. And Amir Abdullah ends up finding a role on the roster. That's another prediction they have. I don't think so. I would hope so because you have 3 running backs. You know, I honestly forgot about Amir Abdullah. I'm not even going to lie because I was just so excited about LeGarrette Blount. You know, I like Kerryon Johnson. People don't like Kerryon Johnson. I got to wait and see. You know how it is here in Detroit. They're like, oh, my gosh, I like Kerryon Johnson. La, 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 la. And I got to wait to see. Because, I mean, everybody was so into Amir Abdullah. And he was great in college. But what has he done in the pros? Kerryon Johnson wasn't great in college, but he has his plays. He has his explosive moments. Amir Abdullah can do other things, though. He ain't got to be a running back. At least, you know, he can be a part of the 1-2-3 running back row. If they can just come up with some huge plays on the huge run plays, I mean, Lions will be back. The Packers. Brian Gutekunst will make one more significant roster addition. Hopefully it'll be Dez Bryant. I would love Dez Bryant to go here because, you know, they have Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, you know. They maybe trade up for pass rusher. And I would love Dez Bryant on this team. Aaron Rodgers, Dez Bryant, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb. I mean, you give Aaron Rodgers anybody. I mean, he'll make them really good. I mean, you just have skill. You know how to catch the ball. You know how to run routes. He'll put you there. All you got to do is just go long. Go deep. Aaron Rodgers can put it there. Dak Prescott didn't put it in the spot. That was the only problem. Rashad Hill win the starting right tackle job. They're talking about that. I don't care about O-line, so I'm not even going to get in on that. Because, I mean, what can you talk about with the Minnesota team? They're going to be the best team in that division. Green Bay is going to fight. Atlanta Falcons, they have Isaiah Oliver. the corner, is going to make a strong impression. Get serious consideration for a starting role. That'd be great. You know, on the other side of Desmond Trufant, you have Robert Alford over there. I mean, defensively, the Falcons are trying to get better on the passing. That'd be good because I think they're still an explosive offense, you know, with Freeman and, you know, Matt Ryan, Julio, Schoolio Jones. Cam Newton will complete 65% of his passes. I think this is one of his best offenses. You know, so I could agree with that. You know, it is bold. It's a bold prediction because his career percentage is 58.5. Hasn't topped 60% past 4 seasons. So, you know, it's new scheme, North Turner, and this is the most talent around Cam Newton, like I said. So this is where he has that chance. He's going to have a new touchdown dance. I can't wait forward to it. I think he's going to have a fun year. The Saints, the young backup running backs will beat out veterans Terrence West, Shane Vereen. Alvin Kamara has depth. They got the younger backups and Trey Edmonds, Jonathan Williams, Boston Scott. Proved had a number 2 job. I mean, they're going to be so good at running back. It's going to be fun to watch them run the ball yet again. Alvin Kamara, you're looking at second year, see how he does. Mark Ingram is facing a 4-game suspension to start the year. They signed West and Vereen over the past month to complete the backup role. But, you know, they have all these young guys. They want to just stay young because you saw what Alvin Kamara did. You know, why not do that? Why not do that if you're the Saints? Tampa Bay, they said Ricky Carlton Davis win a starting job. And this is the cornerback. He was second round draft pick. And they figured he'd be out of Hargraves, Ryan Smith, to be on the other side of Brent Grimes. I feel like that's possible. I think this is the most possible scenario out of all of them. He was already being first team reps in OTAs and in the mini camp, so you know why not? I think he should be. I think he has good talent. I don't really care about Hargraves and Ryan Smith. Arizona Cardinals, they have Sam Bradford to figure he'll make it through camp. He's the veteran. Hopefully he can just make it through without injury. You know, that's what you're just waiting for. You know, you hope he does not get injured. You want to see him play with a running back like David Johnson to be able to hit him in the backfield. David Johnson looked to make a return after such a long season last year, being hurt after week 1 against the Lions. And then, you know, you have, you know, Fitz. Got some good young receivers over there in the Cardinals. So that's where you're hoping Sam Bradford can help him out. They're not going to be in the playoffs, but you want to have some upside there. The Rams, they said Ricky Joseph Noteboom will break camp as a starting right guard. Don't care about guard play. The Rams have every position you need. They figure they're ready right now. They're very ready. The 49ers, Matt Breida will play a bigger role than some are expecting at running back. I do believe that because I actually like him. He had some good opportunity last year. They did spend a lot of money on Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon is going to start. He's going to have a lot of opportunities to really prove that, okay, he belongs in the league and belongs as a starter, as he wasn't starting for Minnesota. And he knows that, okay, I'm not going to start because Minnesota got the running back. Got Dalvin Cook back. So that's where I know Breida is bigger, stronger in the offseason program. You know, he has the speed, maintain the speed. He has a year in the system. And he has a quarterback. 49ers will be fun to watch. So, you know, we're going to see. They might compete for that division with the Rams. Chris Carson will hold off first-round pick Rashad Penny for the starting running back job. That's going to be interesting. You want to see whoever is going to be best with Russell Wilson. They'll probably be able to run the ball. They'll be back to running the ball. Maybe be top 10. You know, Rashad Penny is going to get some clock anyway. But you like Chris Carson, he might be the favorite. Third down situation, Rashad Penny would be in 9 times out of 10 if he doesn't get started. Bills, they feel like A.J. McCarron's going to start. I know you have Josh Allen on the team. Nathan Peterman, I don't think he's ready to start. I like A.J. McCarron. I think that might be the smart thing just to see what he does. But Allen, he's made some of the best throws of camp. But he's also been bad. You know, McCarron, you know, he's just a pro. He's been behind Andy Dalton. I know they ain't the best quarterback to be behind, but it was behind him. and he learned some stuff. He's been in playoff games. He's done it. Dolphins feel like Danny Amendola is going to be the top receiver for them. They don't have Jarvis Landry anymore, so before y'all say anything. And then they get Albert Wilson as well. So, you know, I think it's just, that's right. You know, Danny Amendola will be able to play. You know, he's the top receiver. It'd be great to, it would have been great to see him and Jarvis Landry go at it. The Patriots undrafted cornerback J.C. Jackson will make the team. That's a bold prediction. You know, there's some things the Patriots will do. Have undrafted players in the game. Happy Gilmore is what I call him. That Eric Rowe, Duke Dawson, you know, you got locks in that position. But if they're looking for a fourth, fifth, or possibly sixth spot, J.C. Jackson would be the guy. The Jets feel like, how about this? Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater will be traded by the end of the preseason, by the end of the preseason. That's crazy. Comfortable with a vet. They're comfortable with Josh McCown. And they got Sam Darnold. They just paid Sam Darnold. Jets will flip Bridgewater for a draft pick, probably. I mean, that'll probably be the best thing that they can do when you look at a team, just in case, you know, a quarterback goes down preseason. Teddy Bridgewater would be the first quarterback teams are looking at to get. Especially, you know, you look at the team that you need. You know, he wants to get out there, and he can throw. He still has the juice, I would say. The AFC North, Tim White will win the returner job and rank him on the top five in the NFL. That is huge. You know, he was undrafted out of Arizona State a year ago. You know, they have a history, the Ravens do, in getting special team players out there. Just out there just doing their thing. Over the past 5 years, they've had five different punt returners. And they've ranked top 10 in four of the 5 years. The Bengals won't keep seven wide receivers this year, and that could mean a surprise veteran cut. You know, they have John Ross. They have LaFell, Cody Core, Alex Erickson. You know, we know that LaFell has done a nice job, you know, in his time there. Because, you know, A.J. Green is still there. And unfortunately, he ain't top five in the league, but he's a good receiver. Good to have. He'll come through and he's going to play hard. But it's going to be interesting what the Bengals do. They don't need all them receivers anyway. Just have a few of them. Have four of them. Why not? Denzel Ward of Cleveland Browns will leave camp with a starting job. He's a fourth overall pick. Showed quickness, coverage skills in the offseason. He's definitely going to be ready to go against Antonio Brown in the opener. The Browns and the Steelers will be a great matchup. I want to see the Browns, the youngest team in the NFL. I assume, I know they were last year, but I'm going to assume they still are the youngest team in the NFL. But Vance McDonald will emerge as a primary target on offense for Pittsburgh Steelers. And why not? Because I like him at tight end. He was pretty good in time with Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick found a best friend of Vance McDonald, and I think Ben Roethlisberger will too. He split out wide for a score on day two of camp. Fifth-year player can build off his 112-yard playoff game with a 50-plus catch season. If healthy, man, I like Vance McDonald. I think he's going to be good. Great addition by Pittsburgh. I said it when it happened. AFC South, Lamar Miller will hold on to a starting job in training camp. I think that's right. I know Deontay Foreman has been pretty good. I know he's expected to return from a torn Achilles, but I don't think he's going to be ready for the start of the season on the Sunday. But I think Lamar Miller, Deontay Foreman will have a nice stint. You know, have a good team. They're gonna be fun to watch. I don't think they're gonna be as good as people say, because they it's just that way. Kenny Moore beat out Quincy Wilson or Pierre Desir to be one of the team's starting cornerbacks. I don't really care for the coach cornerback situation. I just want Andrew Luck to play. Just play. The Jags will look elsewhere for backup quarterback. Like I said, you know, you have Cody Kessler and Tanner Lee. They struggled at times during organized team activities in minicamp and training in the first week of camp. You know, Blake Bortles. This is the team that would be like, okay, we give you one of our picks. Give us Teddy Bridgewater just in case. That could be the team that Teddy Bridgewater goes to. Mark my words. The Titans will add another receiver via free agency or trade. They're getting big on Corey Davis, Tywan Taylor, Tajay Sharp. They're filling out three out of four spots in receivers. There's a lot of potential in Rashard Matthews. They're not getting a lot of potential in Rishard Matthews. So they're looking forward to having Rishard Matthews have some help, because Rishard Matthews is good. The Titans are trying to do good once again and make the playoffs. And it's possible if everything goes well. The AFC West, another one of my divisions. Broncos, Denver's rookie class would be its most impactful since 2011. I believe that Bradley Chubb is good. Corlin Sutton is good. Sean Hamilton's good. Got Royce Freeman. They got Josie Jewell. Isaac Yiadom. Sam Jones at center. I think this is good. Good stuff for them. This is where, okay, they're going to believe that this draft class that they got this year is going to help them out in the long run for the future. Maybe not this year, because this is a team I'm still scared of, because you know how that defense operates. And then let's see. The Chiefs, Eric Berry will make another strong comeback from an injury. I believe that we have been so accustomed to being forgetful of such great defensive players like Eric Berry. Once he came back from a torn ACL and later from a battle with cancer, he'd do it again with a strong camp after he missed out most of last season with a torn ACL. The Chargers have Isaac Rochelle have a breakout season. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. They have defensive players that's going to be good. I mean, I do believe that they're a very good defensive team. This is one of those teams, you know, people, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Chargers fan. I do feel like they can win a Super Bowl or compete or be very close. So, you know, just got to look at that there. Don't watch out for them Chargers now. Watch out for my Chargers, y'all. The Oakland Raiders, Garen Conley will emerge from his hip strain to be a bona fide NFL starter. I do like that, you know, because Ohio State, I like anybody from Ohio State. I think it's going to be good for the Oakland Raiders. I hope that he does well. Oakland's not going to be that team anyway, so, you know, I'm not even worried, but I hope Conley does have a good time over there. I'm looking forward to the Ramsey and let's get some news in here. I'm looking forward to Ramsey and OBJ matchup. Jags, Giants. That would be a very, very good matchup come week one of the NFL season. This game right here is a 1 o'clock start. Jacksonville is already a 3.5 favorite. So now it's like, okay, where am I going to pick? Because I don't know. You know, I'll let you guys know on September 7th when I do the game picks. It's going to be great. All right. I don't know what would happen. All right, I just had to play that music for a minute. I want to talk about the WNBA playoff push real quick, because look at Seattle Storm. Look at Seattle Storm has been pretty much the best team this whole year. Not really the whole year, but they're getting there. They're 20-7. They hold the best record in the WNBA. Atlanta Dream. They won 8 straight. You know, they just lost yesterday. But 16-10. The Lynx 15-10. They're hot. Sparks 15-11. They're dropping down. Mystics dropping down. Mercury's dropping down. Connecticut Sun trying to just stay up. And Dallas Wings. Those would probably be your playoff teams. Now, Vegas will be close. But see, now next year, Vegas, y'all got to be good. Because the All-Star game is in Vegas. Which I think I'm trying to go to. The All-Star game. It'd be great to see the ladies. Let's get him on the show. But anyway, when I look at this, they don't do conferences anymore. People trying to get the NBA to do it, don't do it. Seattle and Atlanta have 2 rounds of bye. Minnesota and the Sparks will have 1 round of bye. And then, actually, it'll be the first 8, right? Yeah, first. Knicks and Sparks had a bye yet. So the Wings will play the Mystics and the Sun will play the Mercury. I'm just going to say that Connecticut and Dallas can come out of that. The Mystics, I'm getting a little concerned over the Mystics. So I think Seattle is the team to beat. But Connecticut and Dallas, they can really make a push. But Seattle is just that good where I just don't see anybody. And I mean it. I don't see anybody beating them. This is their time. This is the Seattle Storm's time. I know you guys probably like, okay, wow, you really watch WNBA. I really love WNBA. Jewel Lloyd had herself a game yesterday. The young Jewel Lloyd. Brown Storr is the best player on the team. She's young still. Jewel Lloyd. You got Natasha Howard. That's your big three. Sue Bird is your veteran leader. Kalina Mosqueda Lewis, she was a beast at UConn. Not doing so much now. She comes in every day. Jordan Canada, Alicia Clark, Crystal Langhorne. This is a team that can win it all right here. I know I switched up. I know I switched up from the Sparks, from the Mercury. Look at the Mercury. They have a good three-piece, too. Tarazi, Griner, Bonner. I like Sancho Little. No relation. Round of January, been a fan. Lonnie Mitchell, been a fan. Good team. Love Phoenix. Go to the Sparks. It's Candace Parker and Agumba K. I thought that was enough. Chelsea Gray, Odyssey Sims, and Essence Carson, and Raquana Williams, Gentile Lavender, Lana Beard. I mean, you look at the names. Cappy Pondexter. I think she got it. But you look at the names. Like, okay, they should win. Just name base. Atlanta's just playing so good because Tiffany Hayes is on fire. Angel McCoultry. Brittany Sykes from Annie Montgomery is doing well. Elizabeth Williams. Jessica Breland. Atlanta's believing too. And then you look at the Connecticut Sun. They're off to a great start. Because they have a team. Connecticut has a team. With Agumba K, Courtney Williams, Jasmine Thomas, Alyssa Thomas, Alex Bentley, Jonquil Jones. Those are six players right there that are good. That's why they can still make a push in the playoffs. Even though I think Dallas, they have enough. Dallas have enough. They have the offense. And this Cambage is just that good. You know, Skylar Diggins is good. You want to see Skylar Diggins drive. I want to see this team in the championship game. Now, it won't happen because I think if they go far, they're going to play Seattle. And I think they lose. But I think that's their biggest competition. And whoever will win that matchup will win it all. But I could be wrong. What do I know? Okay. I have to talk college basketball real quick because I have a little BPI issue. I am not a fan of BPI. Basketball Power Index. 100 days until the Champions Classic, official start of the 2018-2019 college basketball season, which I can't wait. It's going to be here before we know it. Preseason rankings are based on the following categories, quality and quantity of the returning players on the team, including transfers and players who missed last year because of injury, recruiting rankings, both overall and a number of five-star prospects, and coaches' past performance on offense and defense. Many of the rankings look similar to the preseason top 25s, including Kansas' top rankings. There's also some that could cause some debate. It's only the second year the BPI has produced a summer update. But the preseason BPI ranking in October has been fairly predictive over the past decade. Since 2007, only two national champions, both UConn teams, have been ranked lower than fourth in the preseason BPI ranking. Now, could be good news for Kansas, Gonzaga, Tennessee, or Marquette. Because you got Kansas, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette, 1, 2, 3, 4. This one will immediately, Marquette, raise some eyebrows. The Eagles finished 500 in the Big East last year Now, they did get pummeled in the Big East tourney, Villanova. Then lost in the NIT to Penn State. And then they lost leading scorer Andrew Rosley, and it's 20-plus points per game. But the model projects they have best offense in the country. In the 90th-ranked defense, Marcus Howard is going to be back, who I love to watch. Sam Hauser could be poised for the All-Big East campaign. He's got newcomers. They transferred from Nebraska. Ed Morrow got a Fordham graduate transfer. And Joseph Chartouni, the freshman, Brandon Bailey. So why not? West Virginia, they did lose their starting backcourt, Javon Carter and Dexter Miles from last season. The model still likes Bob Huggins' program. And that shouldn't come as a surprise. Efficiency-based models definitely has West Virginia favorably since it switched to the West Virginia style in 2014-2015. The biggest key in their efficiency rankings is the fact that they beat lesser opponents by more points than some other teams near the top of the rankings with the nonstop pressure of a main cause. Huggins definitely got a lead on James Bowden, trio freshman too, to replace Carter and Miles. North Carolina's number 6, Syracuse number 7, Wisconsin number 8. Until the NCAA tournament, neither team was all that impressive last year. Syracuse finished below 500 in the ACC. That was bad. And they did make a run to the Sweet 16, which I was surprised. Wisconsin didn't even reach the postseason, but finished by winning 3 of his final 4 games in the regular season. They did get a win over Purdue, by the way. Syracuse got good news. The Tyus Battle, he's coming back for a junior year. Ethan Happ is returning to Wisconsin. That's good. Both teams returned almost all of their key players from last year, and now you look at that. The consistency, efficiency of the program, Syracuse has 2-3 zone, of course, right near the top defensive efficiency under Jim Boeheim. And Wisconsin is the ultra-slow system, which is very efficient. But Duke is number 9, and I have a little issue with it. You look at Kentucky, too. The Kentucky and Duke. The biggest eye-opener here, Kentucky is widely considered to be primarily competition to Kansas for the preseason number 1 honors. The Wildcats are barely in the top 25 in BPI. In general, the BPI is lower on Kentucky and Duke. In fact, Duke at number 9 is actually higher than it was in the 2017-2018 preseason rankings, where most people had Blue Devils at number 1. Just because you look at that, and just how BPI does, me reading that, you look at the returning starters do better than 5-star freshmen in general. Duke lost its entire starting 5, and Kentucky saw 7 players depart from last season. So that's why their BPI will be low. But as far as their ranking, they're probably the top 5 because Duke is going to be your favorite. I think Duke is your favorite right now. They should be your favorite to win it all. I do agree with that. Because that team right there on paper just looks good. And, you look at the same with Kentucky. I don't think their BPI was that high. It wasn't the number 1, but, they came into the season just ready to play. And they only lost 1 game that whole year, which was the Indiana game. The great game there in Indiana. So, that's just me. A little bit of college basketball. So, I just wanted that to be known. I probably won't touch on college basketball until the season started. I just had to address that situation on BPI. Some people don't like BPI. I don't even like BPI. And it's more clear, but I hate being stat-based on BPI. I'm a stats guy. But I'm not a BPI guy. But I just wanted that to be known for you BPI people out there. So before we go, let me go through the games tonight. Let me do it. Let me put on my sexy music yet again. All right. Mets, the Nats. Now here, Syndergaard has the mound, and it's going to be exciting. I think it's a toughie. The game might go over, but I think the Mets cover, and it's very tough to pick them to cover after they just got destroyed. But it's Syndergaard on the mound, and they're underdogs. It's a Tommy Malone. You gotta be kidding me. who has not walked the batter, but his whip is still at 1.60. How is that? The Mets win this game. Lineups are not up. Syndergaard is back. Gotta pick him. Baltimore Orioles, Alex Cobb, Sonny Gray. I'm trying to think here. Do I want to take the over in this game? Unfortunately, I don't think this game is going to play. But if it does, I would take the over. Set 9, and it's a little iffy. Might have to run that Yankees liner. Cincy in Detroit, the game is going to be played. I don't see rain on the forecast for the time of the game. But I think the game will go over. I do believe that. I will take the over in the game. I know I said it yesterday, but this game has to go over. It's Mike Fiers, Sal Romano. Come on. It has to, right? Whips are high over there. Cleveland and Minnesota. Carrasco against Mejia. You want to take Cleveland, don't you? But I actually love this over. This game has to go over. I'm going to take it. And I'm going to just change my pick to Cincinnati and Detroit. I take Cincinnati to win the game. Not going to touch the over. Cincinnati is the underdog I have right here. So I could take them plus. Toronto and Oakland, Stroman and Manea. Over-under is at 8. I will just take Oakland to be safe yet again because they are just taking advantage of them. Chaminade is up there. Marcus Stroman is good, though. We'll see what happens. I think Stroman might come through. Who knows? Houston, Seattle is a 4-10 start. When I get home, I'll be able to catch the end of it. I think Seattle, I'm picking them again, +1.5. They had it right there last night, but didn't get it done. Cubs, Pirates, over, under, 8. I want to take the over, under. This is an important series. I want to take the over, 8. I hate touching them low overs, but I might just go over. Anything, I might just roll with Pittsburgh, +1.5. I don't know what Cole Hamels is going to bring for the Cubs. The Angels in Tampa Bay. This game might go over. Michael, let me get the music. Excuse me, music back. Trepiano against Glasnow. Glasnow's up. I talked about Glasnow earlier. We'll see what he does. This game might go over, though. This might be one of those games I can take the over an 8.5. Miami, Atlanta. At 7:35, I might have to roll with the Braves to win it. I mean, they've been hot. They get Anibal Sanchez. I think Sanchez will do well playing against a former team in the Marlins. The Royals and White Sox. Over-under is 9.5. It went under yesterday. My confidence meter of it going under again is high. Jake Junis going out there, and then there's Covey. But when you look at the whips, I don't know. Junis might do his part. Might be one of those games you can pick Kansas City. We'll see. Colorado, St. Louis. Kyle Freeland, Luke Weaver. You want to just continue to roll with Colorado +1.5. I mean, honestly. They've been covering. Might as well just stay hot with it. It's 8-8. Gotta roll with it. A team that's offensively great like them. Milwaukee and the Dodgers. Depending on that matchup, you might want to take the Milwaukee team to cover. Because they've won twice. But then you're like, okay, you don't see the Dodgers getting swept. But you never know in baseball. It's 2 WNBA matches today. Liberty, Connecticut Sun. One of those games where, hey, you might want to take the over. Two teams who love to shoot the three-point ball. Just take a close look at that 7 o'clock game. And then there's a 10 o'clock game. Phoenix and Las Vegas. Big game for both. Vegas is not a three-point shooting team. They pound you inside with Liz Cambage. Well, Liz Cambage is Dallas, but they pound you inside because of Asia Wilson. Two girls confused. Sorry, Asia Wilson. I do love you. You know it. Asia Wilson knows I have a lot of love for her. This is a big game. I'm going to watch it. Probably won't. Milwaukee and Dodgers play. I'll keep up with it, though. That is your show today. Same time tomorrow, 9 o'clock. A lot of baseball to talk for tomorrow. Got a little couple of early games before a lot of late games tomorrow. And, of course, we get you ready for Friday. 9 a.m. tomorrow, you guys. Have a great day. Enjoy baseball.